Be still for the presence of the Lord. He is here. Let's pray to him. Father, as we gather before you, open our eyes so that we can see you are here. Open our ears so we can hear you. This is our desire. This is our prayer before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I will continue my talk in Old Testament. I have reached up to 1 Kings and 2 Kings, but instead of going through the passages, I like to focus on different people. This time I'm going to talk about the prophet Elijah. He's a certainly very interesting figure in the Old Testament. So what do we know about Elijah? Let's look. Now what we know that he is a mighty prophet. He is serving in the northern kingdom. And also, what does his name represent? So if we remembered in the New Testament, when Jesus on the cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is in Aram. Eli means God himself. So his name, Eli, means God. Jah also means Jehovah God. So his name means Jehovah is God. So his ministry actually is very close to his name. He is going to tell all the people in the northern kingdom, Jehovah is God. Because at that time in northern kingdom, they worship many idols. So his ministry is telling people, Jehovah is God. So how does this prophet, how did he serve God in that generation? So we can learn very much from him. How do we testify God that Jesus is our King? Jesus is real. So he showed us how to testify God in Northern Kingdom. We can learn so many spiritual lessons from him. That's why I picked him to talk about him. So he was very special. He did not die. The Bible recorded it. He was taken by whirlwind into heaven in the 2 Kings. But we don't have time for that. Maybe part two, we'll talk about that. And what's special about him? In the last name mentioned in the Old Testament, God says, God will send Elijah again. So not only he was taken up to heaven by whirlwind, God said he will send Elijah again to turn hearts of the father towards the children and turn the children's heart to the fathers before the day of the Lord came. So God is going to send Elijah. Elijah has not finished his ministry. He will come again. That's what says in the book of Malachi. Chapter 4 actually is verse 5. So he will come again. He has not finished his ministry. God is still using him one day. So many people will say he is one of the witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation. Not only that, next part. In New Testament, it also mentioned he appeared with Moses in the Mount of Transfiguration. So Moses represents law and Elijah represents the prophets. So he is the representative among the prophets. There are so many prophets. Remember Isaiah, Jeremiah, they have written so much. But Elijah, he did not write anything. His whole life, his ministry demonstrate not the words, but the power of the Lord. So he is full of power. So there are a few chapters telling about his ministry. So we focus on 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. But instead of reading out all four verses, I only pick out a few words there. I want to highlight it. But I'll read from chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 4. And Elijah, the Tishbite, the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, the king of Israel at that time, "As the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my words." So his messages seem to be just one sentence. Listen again. "As the Lord of God of Israel lives, before whom I stand." Now, his message was so short, yet so powerful, so strong. He declared it. God is the God of Israel, and I stand before him. And what happened next is, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." And after that, he disappeared. Now, I want you to think about this. At that time, so many people worshipping idols. And this prophet, called by God, he came before the king and declared this. Now, what would you expect? If God called you to declare that there will no dews, no rain for a few years, except at my words. And once you declare that, do you expect something? When people listen to that, would they say, "Oh no, we are doomed. We need rain. We need to repent before God." So the thing is, when we serve God, when we follow his words, we have expectations. We have expectations from the people who listen to the message. Would they say, "Oh no, I repent"? Not at all. And then God said to him, after he declared the message, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastwards and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Now, first of all, we have expectations of outcome when we serve the Lord. Oh, the Lord tells me to serve him like this, or we expect our ministry may have affecting the other people, may change people. But to him, declaring this message and disappeared. Now, if I were Elijah, well, remember Moses. When God called him before Pharaoh, when he declared that Pharaoh got so, he has to demonstrate power. When I compared myself with Moses, I have expectation. Maybe God can demonstrate his power right now. But God told him, "No rain, no dew, a few years, except at my word." And then he disappeared. Why, God, why don't you expect me to do something right now and let people know that you are God? We expect a lot from God as we serve him sometimes. But instead, God, okay, after you declare the message, go to the brook Cherith there, drink from the brook there, and I will ask the ravens to feed you there. Ravens? You mean the blackbirds? Why? Why go there? We may have a different planning or agenda. If we can ask God to a brook, why can't you send me to somewhere else? Ravens? Are you sure? If you know the ravens, they are unclean. They are scavengers. And if a bird carries some meat come before you in the morning, would you dare to eat the meat? Where does this meat come from? Don't expect it to be fresh. Is it from a dead body? Is it from a dead animal? What kind of animal? Is it sheep or It's better to be sheep or cow or ox or something. But it can be anything. So if the Lord asks the ravens to pick up the bread every morning, every evening, the ravens carry the meat and also carry the bread to feed you, would you dare to eat the meat? You have so many questions. Yes, Lord, I'm faithful to you. Why do you put meat here? Why don't you put me somewhere else better? So when we serve God, not only we expect outcome, we expect God to put us in a very comfortable place maybe. Not by the brook, not to be fed by the ravens. They are scavengers, they are unclean. This may be from a decaying body. How can I eat meat from there? So many questions may come to your mind. And hide, why should I hide? Where? Why? So many questions may come to our mind. And how long I'm going to stay there? The Lord did not give him any further directions. So the next point we can see that when we serve the Lord, we expect immediately our service can change a lot of things, can have powerful effect. But instead, after that words, God put you aside in a quiet place. Nobody knows you as if. So you have to trust God to provide for you. He may pray to God, why? How long I'm going to stay here? So after your service, you may expect people say, oh, you're good. Or sometimes you may expect people, no, we don't. They have response at least. But in here, after the message, yes, God put him aside and keep him in a no-man land. So he has to learn obedience. And the Lord did not tell him for how long. So he has to wait every day. In the morning, the ravens bring the bread and the meat. We may ask, is it clean? Where does it come from? How long am I going to stay here? As if the Lord put you aside for a long time, not telling you why. Now, this is hard. If you are serving God, when we compare ourselves to others like Moses, wow, in a short time, Moses has done a lot of miraculous things. In a short time, God has spoken to him, to other prophets for giving them many words. But in here, it seems God just put him there and forget about him. And every day, only the ravens bringing the meat and the bread to him to keep him alive. So this is the lesson one. When we serve God, we proclaim his word. We declare his word so strong, so confident, so powerful. But later on, no response. Do we expect something when we serve God? Do we trust that God's words will have his time? So when we preach God's words, the outcome is in his hand. We must be faithful to deliver the words. But the outcome, how people respond, is in God's hand. Just like the prophet, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they pass on, they deliver God's message. But how do people respond? It's in God's hand. So we must be faithful. Not expecting, not comparing to other prophets. But we must be faithful and put our trust, obedience, and patience before him. We may think, these people need to learn to learn from you, Lord. But before we expect people to change, maybe God wants you to learn more first. So God is training Elijah, put him in the brook. Near the brook to learn many spiritual lessons. Every day he must learn to put trust in the Lord. With the ravens eating the meat, without delivering the meat to me? God sent me here. I must obey. No further instruction, stay there. God has not given you any new instruction, stay there and be patient, waiting there. So next part, when we go to 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 to 17. And then the Lord came to him. After a certain time, the Lord gave the word, come to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. So at this part is in Lebanon. So I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now this is interesting. Not only he has to, you may think, waiting by the brook, fed by the ravens for a long time. We may think we have graduated. We have learned the lessons, but yet sometimes God to change another environment for us to learn. So, as a promotion from primary school to high school. So God sent him to a Gentile place. Not only to a Gentile place, to a woman. Not only to ask the woman to provide for you. She was a widow. And not only she was a widow, she was very poor. So imagine this great prophet. He thinks himself is great, isn't it? So many people not worshipping God, but I am the prophet. I serve you. I stand before you. I deliver the message. I dare to come before the king. And yet the Lord, go to that widow. She will provide for you. So this great prophet of Israel come to a foreign land, come to the Gentile. And how do you start to ask that widow to provide for you? This is embarrassing, isn't it? Now, as he approached to that, when he came to that city, he saw the widow there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. So he dare not ask for water and food. Too embarrassing asking for a woman, a Gentile woman, a poor widow. So the prophet, the great man, wants to have his face, okay? So he asked her, can I have some water, please? Now notice here, I really like the words. And as she was going to get it. Now, she did not ask two things at the same time. She was testing if she is willing. Too embarrassed to be rejected by a widow. So, can I have some water, please? Ah, okay, I'll get some water for you. I imagine she turned her back, and as she was going, then, now I can ask for the food. Can I have, as you are going, can I also have some bread, please? You see, she was not asking both things at the same time. He must be too embarrassed to look at her face to face and ask, can I have some water and bread? No, asking me. No. He must be too embarrassed to ask her. So as she was going to get it, he asked for a morsel of bread. Then what is her reply? He replied, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. So this poor widow only have little flour and only little flour to make a small cake. And after that, she said, we will die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, and make a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourselves and your son. So Now, that lesson is, when God wants us to serve Him, He wants us to be humble ourselves. Don't think you are so great. Otherwise, if you are always thinking about your face, thinking about how people look at you, we have limitation to serve Him. So often we dare not say something because we are afraid of how people look at me. Sometimes during the meeting, we dare not pray, we dare not sing, we dare not say something for Him. Why? Because we are too proud. We don't want to make mistakes. We wonder how people look at us. That's why God is so difficult to ask us to open our mouths. Sometimes during our meeting, why don't you pray? The reason we are afraid. We are afraid that we make mistakes. We don't want to make mistakes. Why? Because we are too proud. But if you want to serve God, you must put down your faces. When God sends you, when God gives you something, you faithfully say it. You have to forget about yourself. Forget about how people look at you. Forget about your image. This is how we can serve Him, if you want to serve Him. If you are too proud to serve Him, you won't talk to the widow. No, not for me. Okay? Now, the second part is we can learn from here. It's from the widow. Elijah told him, make me a small cake from it first, and then you can use the rest of the cakes to make a bread for you and your son. Now, what can we learn from here? And the widow listened to him. So he used and make the cake for Elijah, give it to Elijah first. Once she gave it to Elijah, then the words came to Elijah. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of the oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. That means once you are willing to give up your little flour, your little oil, once you are willing to give up the flour and the oil, life and the Holy Spirit, flour and oil, once you are willing to give up what you have for the Lord, it will continue to come. The bin will not become empty. The jar will not become empty. Now, what does this spiritual lesson refer to us? That means when you are willing to give up your little for the Lord first, give it up to Him. And then God will continue to provide for you. Why do people, how can we serve God continuously? Where does the words come from? What you have little, give it to Him first. God will provide. Remember in the New Testament, remember the disciples? You give what you have, the 5 fish and the 2 loaves, when you give up what you have in your hand, pass it out, God will continue to give you, continue to give you, continue to give you, continue to give you. Some people can serve the Lord many years. Where does all this abundance come from? Because they pass out what they have, pass out what they have, pass out what they have. So if you want to serve God, don't think you accumulate a lot, a lot, a lot, and then you can give. Sometimes maybe in Bible study, or sometimes when a group sharing, the Lord may give you 1 sentence, a word, some words to glorify Him. This is the little oil, this is the little flour you have. If you give it to Him first, then the Lord will continue to provide for you because you are faithful. So, dear brothers and sisters, especially the young people among us, you want to serve the Lord? Forget about your image. Forget about your face. When the Lord gave you a little bit, give it out. Offering to the Lord. You are not asking for people approval or, oh, they like my sharing, therefore I give more. No. When the Lord gives you something, you give it out to glorify Him. It's for Him. He gives you a little bit, give it out. If you give it out, God will continue to provide for you. Don't imagine one day you can speak to other people for an hour if you don't even bother to save one sentence. If you don't even try to pray, don't expect God will give you a lot of words to share. If you hold back all this, you are a blocked channel. God cannot pass out all the blessing through you. So my dear friends, especially young brothers, when God moves you, even with one sentence, two sentences, God touch you, give it out to glorify Him. If you are faithful, God will continue to provide to you. And in this hard time, you will realize, even though there are many people, they don't have food, but God will continue to provide for you. You will realize He is a faithful God. We can know that great is His faithfulness. Even in the wilderness, the Israelites, they were fed by God, by manna. Where other people hunger, but we are continually sustained. Why? Because we listen to Him, we obeyed Him, we forget about ourselves, we just want to honor Him, we obey Him in little things. When He gave us, we pass it out, the blessing to others. So this is God's providence and faithfulness. We can learn from Elijah. Why God sent him there, put him there and recorded it, so that we can learn from him how to serve God. Next point. Now, the story continues. After they were fed, for some time, as it happens, after some time, the woman had a child, and his son got so sick one day. And so sick that the sickness was so serious that one day the child died. And so she said to Elijah, "What have I done to you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him out of his arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. And he laid him on his own bed. And Elijah prayed to God, cried out to God. And he prayed to God that let this child's souls come back to him. So this situation forced Elijah further to come down before God, and the child died. As if I came here and bring them problem. Lord, what can I do? So he has to come before the Lord. And God listened to his prayer. And Elijah took the child and brought him down. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Resurrection. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." So this boy resurrected. Resurrection. Now notice what the woman said to Elijah. "Now, by this, I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. By this, I know that you are a man of God." Not by the miracles of the flour and the oil. She should know that. We imagine, hey, how come the bin is never empty? How come the jar is never empty? She should already know that he's a man of God. No, not until people can see the resurrecting life, then people realize this is the man of God. So brothers and sisters, what can we learn from here? That is, you may do a lot of good things, even miraculous thing in people's eye, but people will not realize until they see a new life, a resurrecting power in our ministry. So it's not just filling up people's empty stomach, but people see the life there. So in our ministry, in our serving the Lord, can we people see the resurrecting life, the resurrecting power, life not changing? This power in us, in our ministry, can change people. Then people realize this is the power of the Lord. You are a man of God. So in our ministry, let's pray that the resurrecting power manifested through our ministry. So let's go to the next part. Now in 1 Kings chapter 18. So after this almost 3 years, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and asked him, "Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on earth." So Elijah went to meet Ahab. And as he went to find Ahab, he met also Obadiah. Obadiah was another servant of Ahab. But this Obadiah, he is serving the Lord himself. And once, as Elijah tried to find Ahab, Ahab and his friend, and Obadiah, they came to find Elijah because of the drought. They want to find Elijah because he said, throughout many years, these years, without my prayer, there will be no rain. So they don't have rain. They want to find Elijah. But as they are trying to find Elijah, they separate into two ways. So Elijah, instead of finding Ahab, he met Obadiah. And what did Obadiah tell him? Obadiah tell him that, Elijah is here. Now I'm ready. I'm going to meet Ahab. Then Obadiah spoke to Elijah. He said, "Now, you suddenly disappeared last time. So if I go with you to find King Ahab, and you suddenly disappear, what can I do? But remember, your servant, I am faithful to the Lord God of Israel. So when the queen, the wicked Jezebel, killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men." Now, I pointed the highlight here because I want to point out that Elijah always thinks he is the only one, only prophet to serve God. But actually, he is not the only one. There are 100 more prophets serving God himself. So don't think you are so great as if you are the only one to serve God. What I wanted to point out is that don't imagine you are the only one who is serving God himself. Be humble. Okay? So the next point, so he is going to present himself before Ahab. In the next part, when it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you, Ahab, and your father's house, have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." So, now notice here, Ahab always thinks there's no rain because of Elijah. We may put the blame on others when things go wrong, isn't it? But actually, Elijah told him, "I'm not troubling Israel, but you, We are always pointing the fingers to others. When something goes wrong, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. Now notice here, when something goes wrong, we will say it's your fault. When regarding something good, I am the only prophet. I am the only one serving God. Now, what does it mean? We have to be humble before the Lord as well. So the fact that he has been hiding for some time, and now he has the courage to come before King Ahab, we can see when God sends you there, what will happen when I face him? Will he kill me? He has the courage to come forward. So when we serve God, we know we need the courage to come. When he sent us, we have the courage to come. And don't think you are so great. People always blaming others. And now we know we should humble before the Lord. We are not the only one who serve him. We have to come to next part. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, Elijah gathered all the people onto Mount Carmel, and they are separate into two groups. One, those who are worshipping Baals, all the prophets, they gathered in one place, and as if they are going to put a competition. Now you can choose the bullock, cut it into pieces, put it on the altar, and then you prophets, because you have so many, you pray to your God and ask Baals to send fire to you. Whereas Elijah, he will put the bullocks on the altar, and let's see who is the real God, who can send fire from heaven. But Elijah at that time, speaks to the people. How long will you falter between two opinions? At that time, the people are not sure. Who is the real God? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baals is God, follow him. But the people answered him, not a word. So as this challenge has to go on. So what happens is, all these prophets praying to Baals, and yet no fire came down. So Elijah, being very sarcastic, he said, oh, maybe your God is meditating. Maybe he's busy. He's on a journey. He's sleeping. And there's no fire comes down. So once at the time of evening sacrifice, then Elijah gathered the people. Come here. And then he prayed to God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that this day you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all the things at your word. And then God sent fire to come down from heaven, burn all the offerings, and not just the offerings, but even the water around the offerings. So, and then the people realized, the Lord, he's God, he is God, he is God. So what can we learn from here? So we can learn that during his ministry, he's demonstrating God's power. But in his heart, he always knows that, not that I am powerful, but let the people know that you are God. You are the God of Israel. You have the power. So in our ministry, in our serving him, let the people realize, exalt God, not exalt ourselves. Let the people see the power of God himself. So this is what we can learn. In our ministry, in our heart, we want to exalt him only. Let's come to the last part. Now, after that, we may expect, wow, such a great miracle. Fire comes down from heaven. When Elijah said, if I don't pray, there will be no rain. When he prayed, rain comes down. And after that, we may expect people will change. People realize God is God. But again, we have expectations of the outcome. And instead of the whole country, the king and the queen turns back to God, What happens is in chapter 19, verse 1 to 3. And Ahab told Jezebel, the wicked queen, all that Elijah had done in Mount Carmel and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That means Jezebel is, Elijah, you killed all my prophets. Next, the same time today, tomorrow, I will kill you. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Bathsheba and belonged that which belonged to Judah and left his servant there. So what does it mean? He experienced a great success. He experienced demonstrated a powerful miracle on Mount Carmel. So we trust that with this power, with these miracles, everything will be changed. Israel will write a new history. Everybody will turn to the Lord. This is such a success. But he is so disappointed. That doesn't change Jezebel. So often we expect experiencing something great, there will be different outcomes. But the outcome seems to be unexpected. We expect success, but it turns out to become our failure. Why? So again, expectations of outcome. When the Lord asks us to serve Him, we trust not in the power. When we do this, when we say this, people will change. The outcome, again, is not in our hand. The outcome is in God's hand. Sometimes the outcome may be totally unexpected. So we must be faithful to the Lord. We trust in God and follow His instruction. Not to gamble, not to expect a great outcome. Remember Jesus? When he was betrayed, where are the disciples? If I follow God's way, how come all the people deserted me? When we are doing God's will, how come I have experienced such rejection or denial? We have expectation, but we are not expecting . We should be focused on doing God's will. We should be focusing on following God's way and leave the outcome in God's hand. In God's way, in God's time, people may change, but not according to my agenda, to my plan. All we need to is focus on doing His will and leave the outcome to God. Success or not, effective or not, how do people respond to it? I don't care. If God wants me to serve Him like this, I deliver the message. Remember Jeremiah? He delivered the message. People rejected it. But these words will bear fruit after many, many years. Remember all the prophets, they deliver the message. People reject at that time. No change. But does it mean that they fail? No. So if God asks us to serve Him, the result doesn't seem good, doesn't mean that we fail. We fail if we are not faithful. But if we are faithful, this is a success. If we are faithful, this is what God wants from a servant. Let us put the outcome, put it down. leave it in God's hand, in God's time, in God's way, God's word will do his work. So this is what we can learn from Elijah. So have a look at all the spiritual lessons together, the last page. Last page, please. Because all the spiritual lessons all together, we can see, number one, expectations of outcome when we serve him, we expect too much. We have to learn trust, obedience, and patience before him. We need to humble ourselves. We need to know that if we are faithful to give what God asks us to do, God will continue to provide us. God wants us to be faithful. And serving him, people need to realize it's not just by our power, but the resurrecting power from him to serve him. And we need to courage to break through ourselves. There are so many barriers, boundaries in our life, but we need courage to break through. In our service, we are focusing on exalt God himself, not exalting ourselves. His will be done. And in number 8, success or failure is not on the immediate what we can see. The outcome is in Lord's hand. We have to be faithful. True success is we are faithful to serve him. So may God teach us how to serve him. God taught Elijah how to serve him. He's such a powerful prophet in his time. So may God teach us how to serve him in this generation. All the spiritual lessons we have to learn as well. God can only send the message if he finds the right messenger. And the messenger has to be trained by him. So don't look down upon what you are learning today. Little, even we think it's minor thing, is God training you. Maybe during the meeting, your prayer, do you dare to pray? It's a test for you. It's a test, it's a training ground for you. If you don't do it now, how can God give you more? So let us be faithful. Let us continue to learn to serve our great King. So in our ministry, help us not to focus on our weakness, not to focus on our limitation, but we always behold him, behold our God in our ministry. So let us sing a last song, Behold Our God.
Who can fathom all his wonders? his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare.
Let us pray. Lord, help us to turn our eyes to you and behold our God. For in every day, you are teaching us in every way. Teach us how to serve you faithfully. Teach us how to grow in you. Teach us how to be faithful in our ministry. Lord, we pray that we will be a useful vessel in your hand that can testify you in this generation, to show that our God is real, to show that our God is King. Jehovah is our God. So may our life glorify you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.